are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
I want to share with you today from Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 6 to 15. And I want to talk to you this morning about a role model for today's father. A role model for today's father. Say that five times. Let's just have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be with us this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord, and we are blessed, Father, that you encourage us as fathers. You encourage us, Lord, to continue to love and to serve and to nurture our families. We thank you, Lord God, for the way that you model for us how we can do that. We pray, Father, for this word this morning, that it would bring life, it would bring hope, provide answers and encouragement. We ask that you would strengthen every father or father-to-be with this message this morning. We thank you for your precious anointing. Holy Spirit, come and anoint me as your servant as I share your word this morning. Amen. Well, let's go to chapter 6 in Matthew, and let's start at verse 6. It says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I think on this Father's Day, it would be very beneficial for us to give consideration to our Father in heaven. Father is the supreme name given to Almighty God. The name Father actually occurs in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, 150 times. That's an important word. The love of God finds supreme expression through our God being our Father. The term Father is also first recorded. It's the first recorded utterance of Jesus. And we find that Jesus said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" He says that in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And so we see him starting off as a boy, acknowledging he has a heavenly Father. Then Jesus also used the term Father in his last dying cry. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," Luke 23, 45. So we see that as a boy, he acknowledges he is a heavenly Father. And we see him in the most crucial time of his life, the crisis of all crisis, the conflict of all conflicts, the need of all needs. Here he is, Jesus, acknowledging how his Father has walked with him, sustained him, ministered to him, loved him through his 33 years of life, and now he's committing his spirit to his heavenly Father. Jesus placed his main emphasis on helping his disciples to accept and respond to the God who reveals himself as a loving Father. There was a little boy who was helping his father clear a lot. He was trying very hard, but he failed in lifting a huge stone. The father said, "Are you using all your strength?" "Yes, sir," answered the boy. "No," said the father, "no, you aren't." He said, "You're not using all your strength because you haven't asked me to help you." None of us uses all our strength, live up to all our potential, or take advantage of all the means until we call upon our Heavenly Father for help. The Heavenly Father is a role model for today's father. And as I look at these nine verses from Matthew chapter 6, I want to share with you some observations that I made of how our Heavenly Father is a role model for today's father. We see in verses 6 to 7 how our Heavenly Father is instantly available, and he's available at all times of the day. There's never a time that our Heavenly Father is not available for you and me. Our Heavenly Father is intimate. We see in verses 6 and 7, we see that it says, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And we see here that our Heavenly Father is an intimate Father. He actually says, come into a quiet place, come into a secret place, come into a private place, come into a place just between you and I, and I will make myself available to hear whatever is on your heart. I want you to know, as my son, as my daughter, that I'm interested in all aspects of your current situation. That's the Father that we serve. He loves to relate to you. He's aware of what's going on, and he forms personal relationships with us. He knows your personality. He enjoys your personality. He enjoys the fact that he himself created you. There's aspects that nobody of all his creation has but you. There's things about you no one else on this earth has. Well, we know that to be true because when somebody takes a fingerprint, there's no other person on this planet with the same fingerprint that you have. That's how intimate God is with you and me. And he so delights in the specific uniqueness of who you are as an individual person. And he's not impersonal. Like some force, like gravity. He loves to be aware of who you are, what you need, where you're going, what you're doing. And he comes to you and he says every single day, come before me. Come into that secret place. Come into my presence with courage, with confidence, with boldness, despite your weakness, despite your failures, despite your shortcomings, and even despite your sin, come into my presence and spend that intimate time with me because I am making myself available to you. I personally long to be with you. That's what he's saying. And Jesus is revealing that aspect of our Heavenly Father to us, that characteristic. And that secret place, that concealed place, that private place, that hidden place. And that differs for all of us. Some of us, that might be out taking a walk. Some of us, that may be when we're weightlifting. As you can see, I do much of that. For some of us, that could be a place in our house. A special room. It could be a quiet corner in our room where our favorite chair is and we sit and we have quiet time there. can be any specific. It could be on your boat. It could be in your tree stand. And you can meet God. It could be in your camper. Any place that you make a place that's a dwelling place for the Lord, he'll come and visit you. He'll come and be with you. And so he's encouraging us as fathers this morning. You know, we think of the secret place and we're like, eh, that's a little too intimate for me. I kind of don't like that term. Well, it's a scriptural term. It's mentioned actually three times, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 18, that when you come to the secret place and you request of God, and it's in alignment with his purpose and his will for your life, it says he will reward you. That's what he says three times in this one chapter. Why wouldn't we want to go to the secret place? If a God is willing to be personal, our Heavenly Father, and reward us and bless us and encourage us and strengthen us and speak to us and affirm us in him as his sons, wow, let's go to the secret place and spend some time with him. Our Heavenly Father honors our integrity, and he encourages us to be integral even when our families, our children, perhaps are not their best. And he tells us in verse 7, he says, you know, just come and tell me what you're thinking. And know that I'll hear what you're thinking. And you actually, he's saying to us, it doesn't have to be in a lot of words. Don't babble on, he's saying. Just tell me what you need. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what's hurting you. Tell me what's frustrating you. Tell me what that child's doing. Tell me why things aren't going as well as you hoped they were going on the job or with your relationships. And God is saying, you don't have to go on and on about it because I already know what's going on in your life. I just need to hear it from you. And I just need to know you want to connect with me. And I want you to understand, I am so available at all times. I really want to encourage you to take advantage of a Heavenly Father who's saying, there's no question. I love to be with you. Thinking of how our Heavenly Father is a role model, reminding me of this story that I read about a dad who really understood what it was to be available at a turning point in his own son's life. Some years ago, in a military academy, the students rebelled, probably because of the harsh demands of such an environment. The students had deliberately struck out in everything, their lessons, their study hours, drill time. When word reached their parents, the students began to receive telegrams which the principal had in his possession. And these messages were like a telescope through which one could look into the various kinds of homes these boys had come from and the parental relationships that were connected with each of these young men. One father wired his son, "I expect you to obey." Another one said, "If you're expelled from school, you needn't come home." Still another said, "I'll send you to the insane asylum if you ever come home." Another said, "I'll cut you off without a penny if you disgrace this family." But the best message was couched in these succinct words, "Steady, my boy, steady, dot, father, exclamation mark. Steady, my boy, steady." Now, there was a man who truly believed in his son. Probably there is no greater influence upon a child's life than a father who respects the spirit of that child and treats that child, whether a boy or a girl, with respect, dignity, and honor. Pastor Frank read one of the commands of the Lord, to honor and respect your father and mother as a first command. And I really speak to fathers today and encourage you to continue to do what you do so well, and that is honoring your children modeling that, modeling respect and modeling dignity, not only of your wife and your children, but those that you work with and those that you play hard with. And your children will catch that. I hear our Heavenly Father speaking to my heart those very succinct words that father had telegrammed his son, "Steady, my boy, steady." Perhaps you need to affirm one of your children who is currently facing a difficult situation, circumstance, and perhaps the outcome should be something different, but you're going to extend grace. You're going to extend favor. You're going to extend understanding and compassion. And perhaps when that child deserves a discipline that's maybe a little more stronger than you would normally give, you do it in such a fashion that the child knows that you're holding them up and you're helping them to remain steady in the midst of turmoil. You see, our Heavenly Father, I think he's the perfect role model for today's father. We see in verses 8 to 11 that our Heavenly Father ultimately provides for all our needs. And you're like, well, that's a basic insight. It's the hardest thing to truly grasp and live by. It's something we know as fathers. It's something we expect as fathers. But sometimes it's difficult as a father to truly believe that God's going to supply above and beyond all we could ask or think. Because fathers often will put themselves down. Fathers will often see themselves as somebody who's failed God or failed his family, failed his children, and is not worthy. And there are some things that fathers have done that are shameful, that perhaps should never have been said, thought, done, or acted out. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there is grace in the Heavenly Father's heart for those situations. I want to encourage you this morning. I've experienced that type of grace as a father. I've experienced those times as a father that I have failed. Perhaps not knowing even that I had failed, only to witness in the behavior of my children. To find that God was a God who was capable of supplying whatever I needed at that moment. I love the verses 8 to 11, and they say this: "Do not be like them, for your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him." That has helped me so much as I've fathered my own two boys, that whatever they needed and I didn't have, or I wasn't capable of giving at that moment, somehow, some way, God provided. And perhaps it wasn't the exact thing they needed or the label they wanted on their pair of shoes, but I was able to get them what they needed at that time. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. What a wonderful way to begin a prayer. Acknowledging right away who the greatest role model is of all times. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Honoring, respecting, modeling that in our prayer time. Respecting Almighty God in heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen to this. And we all know this, we say it all the time. Give us today. Give us today our daily bread. And Jesus is really helping us understand something about our Heavenly Father that we know about, but sometimes we forget so easily. And we think it's all up to us. We think it's the harder we work, the more money we get, the better job we get, the more stuff we can get, that that's going to make our happy, happy family. Not according to the word of God. He says, give us today our daily bread. And so Jesus is saying, even before we ask, our Heavenly Father is so aware. And not only that, he's very interested. And he's very concerned that our needs be met. We must humbly acknowledge our provision comes from his hand. And when I thought of this verse, I was just thinking of the shape class. And I was thinking of, and our shape class is preparing people for ministry. And there's an aspect in that class where we talk about spiritual gifts, our heart passion, and then our abilities. And there's a list that we give the people, and I think there's like 50 to 100 different skill sets and abilities. And I remember the first time that I ever took that assessment and filled that out, and I went, wow. You know, I always see myself less than, or I always see myself without, or I've always seen myself wanting what somebody else had. But when I took that assessment of my abilities and my skill set, I'm like, God has really blessed me. I have many abilities. I have many things that God has actually given me that I've been able to use to better my life, that I've been able to use to build relationships. I've been able to use to reach people's lives. I've been able to use to have jobs, or I've been able to use to do some of the most fun things and adventurous things in my life. That God gave me these skills, not for me to brag or be prideful about, but so that I can be on this adventure of life with my wife and my kids and other people that I love dearly. And I have been so grateful for the many, many skills. And then as I thought of that, I thought of the wonderful jobs that I've been given and how those jobs have led me to other opportunities and relationships that have been lifelong relationships. And experiences that have totally cultivated my heart and my passion for God and my Heavenly Father. I love my skill set. How about you? When was the last time that you sat down and wrote out your skill set, your abilities? And when was the last time, Dad, that you sat down and thanked him for those abilities and skill sets? Do you take them for granted? Do you think they're yours alone? Do you think because you have the strength and the ability to shape those and mold those that you're in charge of those? No. No, no, no. Give us today our daily bread. That's all connected. You see, the way we get our daily bread is through the strengths and through the abilities and through the skill sets. And through those, we get our jobs. And through those jobs, the provision is made for our family. He's so amazing. There's this illustration that it was this bright, warm day. It was the morning. And there were these two birds that flew every day into this bird bath in the backyard. One of the birds was a young robin, and then one was this old weathered sparrow. And they would meet each morning at the bird bath. The elderly one would model and let the younger one take his bath first and drink, and he'd jump off and stand on the edge of the bird bath, and then the old weathered sparrow, he'd jump in there, he'd take a good spin and shower down for the day and have a drink of water. And the robin had been watching the people who owned the house. And he said, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. The well-weathered sparrow said to the young robin, he said, friend, I think it must be that they don't have a Heavenly Father who provides for them. Just as he provides for us, I guess they just don't have a Heavenly Father. And they both continued to enjoy a fresh drink of water from the previous night's rain and flew away. I love that little story and that picture of how our Heavenly Father is constantly providing for us. He doesn't run out of resources, just as he didn't run out of resources for the robin or the sparrow. He's capable of making ample provision every single day. And even during this season of difficulty with COVID-19, he supplied for all of us in some way or form or fashion. For that, we have, as a father, should even lead our family today and just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting the needs of my family during this very difficult season of life. For some of you, it's not been difficult, and for others, it has. Are you consumed with stress this morning, worry, anxiety over meeting your needs? Consider this truth from verse 26 of the same chapter. It says this, the birds do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable than they? God places great value every single day when you even declare, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Because our Heavenly Father is a role model for today's Father. I want to share the third observation with you. And it comes from verses 12 and 14 to 15. Verse 12 says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Verse 14, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we already know where Pastor's going with his observation. Our Heavenly Father doesn't just forgive. He's eager to forgive. He's eager to forgive. Relationships will make you and break you. And Jesus introduces us to one of the key core values of his Father's heart. And he's hoping that as he shares this key core value in the Father's Prayer, which models for us how to pray every day. Give us today our daily bread means that we're praying every day. This model that our Heavenly Father provides for us in connecting with him in relationship. And so he's saying he's eager to forgive, and this is a core value of his character. And he's saying, I want this to be a core value of your character. Saying to us as fathers today that as our Heavenly Father models forgiveness to us, he's saying, I want this to be a core value in your life. I want you to forgive. I want you to release. I want you to release any bitterness, any resentment, any grudge. I want you to carefully assess the quality of your heart. And I'm free in forgiving you. I'm eager to forgive you. I desire to forgive you. I have forgiven you. I'm willing to forgive you every single day. I will never come up short when you ask me to forgive you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. I am here and eager to forgive you. Now, you need to come and tell me the truth. You need to come and reveal the truth of your heart. You shouldn't be a hypocrite and be one way this way and then another way that way. No, 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 no. I see all things. He's saying, I want you to come to an eager Heavenly Father, and I want you to humble yourself, and I want you to allow forgiveness to be a core value of your life. Forgive, release, and commit to forgiving again. There's this quote of an unknown author that I thought was very true and applicable to what I'm talking about. And the quote says, "Our Heavenly Father has an amazing sense of humor. He will bring across your path the kind of people who manifest to you what you have been to him." I thought that was rather humorous and something to really contemplate as we think of our Father's eagerness to forgive us. We must be willing to forgive those who have sinned against us. And if we experience God's free and full forgiveness, why not give it to others? And there are certain circumstances that I'm currently working through in my own life that have been very, very difficult circumstances. And through that situation, it has required me to look at my heart, look at my spirit, and say, release any form of resentment and bitterness and anger, and continually forgive, continually and eagerly forgive, because my Father in heaven willingly does that for me on a daily basis. That's the least I can do in the circumstances that I'm currently dealing with. There were these two little brothers. Their names were Harry and Bobby. And they had finished supper, and they were playing until bedtime. And somehow, Harry, the older brother, hit the younger, Bobby, with a stick. And tears and bitter words followed that strike. It was a hard one. Charges and accusations were being exchanged as their father was preparing them for bed. And the father said to the two boys, "Now, boys, what would happen if either of you died tonight and you never had the opportunity again to forgive each other?" So little Bobby, who was hit with the stick, spoke up and he said, "Well, okay, Dad, I'll forgive him tonight, but if we're both alive in the morning, he better look out." I've been like Bobby in my life. How about you? How often do you hold onto a grudge? How often have you held onto somebody else's offense? How long have you held onto an offense and you didn't even know the specifics between the two parties? You didn't even know what happened between them, and yet you judge that person, and because you judge that person, you cut that person off, and that person missed out on relationship. How often have you done that because you've carried somebody else's offense? You might want to look at that. That will rob you of spiritual liberty. That will rob you of a new depth of love. And that will rob you in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It will become a barrier. I don't want that barrier in my heart. When we forgive others of the wrongs they've committed against us, we're not excusing what they've done to us. We're simply recognizing that we've been hurt unjustly. And what we're doing now is we're turning the matter over to God. There have been so many circumstances and relationships in my life, and so many people that I personally have hurt. And it's required people to forgive me. And I've had to face the truth about the pain I've caused other people. And I've had to face the truth that other people have caused me pain. But I choose to do what I'm encouraged to do. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's a struggle. And sometimes it takes time. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive you. We can't ignore that. That's the reality of the moment. And God, our Heavenly Father, modeling for us right now, modeling for you and for me, one of the greatest gifts that he gives us this Father's Day is the ability to eagerly forgive those who have brought pain into our lives, or asking others that we have caused pain to, will you please receive my forgiveness? I'm asking you this week to adopt the forgiveness of others into your daily prayer life. Oh, I'm not just asking you to pray again this week. I'm not just asking you to flippantly do this. I'm not just asking you to do that because I need to provide an application. No, I'm asking you to do that because the Word of God is asking you to do that. Jesus is saying, I had to do that. He modeled that on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And now he's saying to us in this, our Father, the model of prayer every single day, here's a gift I'm giving you, an eagerness to forgive. Are you eager to forgive? And are you willing to make that part of how you pray every single day? I think every day should be Father's Day. I like the barbecues. I like the gifts and the cards and the phone calls. I love those things about Father's Day. But the thing that I love most about Father's Day is this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what I love about Father's Day. We should give our Heavenly Father our complete trust and faith, our steadfast love, and our enthusiastic obedience. Jesus Christ, he is the way to our Heavenly Father. It is only in Christ Jesus that we learn of our Heavenly Father's love and our Heavenly Father's mercy and our Heavenly Father's delight to be with us at all times. We learn in our relationship with our Heavenly Father that he is eager to supply above and beyond all we could ask or think, and he's so eager to forgive us. This Father's Day, you have the perfect role model, your Heavenly Father. I'm so glad he's modeled for me these things that I've talked to you about this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great celebration that all fathers will be enjoying today. And we praise you for every father and the fathers that have passed on into glory. And we pray, Father, for each of us to acknowledge that you are instantly available, you are more than willing to supply, and you are more than eager to offer forgiveness. Lord, that's the heart I want to model as a father. And I pray that will be the heart that my brothers have in modeling for their children what it is to be a father. We just bless you and we thank you and we ask that this would be an uplifting, encouraging week for all our families today. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Father's Day. And have a wonderful celebration.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.